When you feel lonely, what are some of the thoughts that run through your head? Maybe you blame yourself for feeling lonely, or you focus over and over on the thing that made you feel lonely in the first place. For a lot of us, those thoughts can easily spiral. But our next guest says with a few simple steps, there may be a way to feel better that helps us reconnect with others again. You can join in at 800-642-1234. When have you felt lonely during the pandemic? If you're working remotely, do you miss seeing people in person? Have you felt the impact of seeing your friends and family less over these nearly 3 years? How do you cope with loneliness when that feeling comes up for you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Amit Goldenberg is an assistant professor of business administration at the Harvard Business School. He's a psychologist by training and one of the researchers behind a number of recent studies on loneliness. Amit, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
I know loneliness has been a concern in the United States for some years. What kind of impact have you seen the pandemic having on loneliness?
Yeah, you know, this is a very interesting question because there are a lot of studies. The intuition is that pandemic has dramatically influenced loneliness throughout the U.S. But actually, when you look at empirical data, the lines seem to be quite flat, which is we don't see a huge effect of the pandemic on loneliness. That feels weird, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to look under the hood. And when we do, we see that for some people, the pandemic has actually decrease their loneliness for various reasons. You know, some people had to spend a lot of time with others who are close to them, which made them feel less lonely. While others, and that's the thing that we sort of most intuitively connect to, feels lonely because they can't have social connections. And so, generally speaking, the general trend is unclear. But if you look under the hood, I think it's clear that a lot of people are feeling a lot more lonely than before.
And we should be clear, loneliness is more than just being alone. You can be alone and enjoy solitude. That isn't the same thing as loneliness. Can you talk about kind of the definition of that negative impact of loneliness?
Yeah, that's right. So we need to differentiate or to think about two things. One is social isolation, which is being alone. And the other one is the experience of loneliness, which is a complex set of feelings that occur when intimate and social needs are not adequately met. And you already see the difference. One is sort of an objective measure of how alone someone is, and the other one is a subjective measure of how much one feels that their social needs are met. And the correlation between the two is surprisingly low. We have a lot of people who are completely alone but don't feel lonely. And we have a lot of people who have intimate relations, they have family, they live with other people in the house, they have a lot of friends, yet they feel lonely all the time. And so it's really important to differentiate between the two things.
You've been part of this really global study looking at a particular technique for dealing with not just loneliness, but other negative emotions as well. Let's talk about this idea of reappraisal. What is that?
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes our emotions are unhelpful. And in these cases, we may want to change these emotions in a way that will help us deal with all sorts of social situations and others. But and there's various strategies to do so, right? I mean, if your boss is making you angry, there's all sorts of ways that you can deal with that. And all of these ways fall under the umbrella of emotion regulation, changing how one feels to achieve some kind of a goal. But it turns out that not all emotion regulation strategies are as helpful or as healthy. For example, one unhealthy, or in most cases, unhealthy emotion regulation strategy is to suppress that emotion. So if we think about my example of a boss being making one angry or feeling lonely, suppressing that emotion, not expressing it, has shown to be a very unuseful way to reduce emotion. In fact, when we look at people's brains or physiology, when they suppress their emotions, it actually seemed to be that their emotion seems to be stronger. than when they're not doing it. Now, one very useful way to change one's emotion, as research suggests, and we have research for many years about this sort of strategy, is what we call reappraisal, which is changing the way one thinks about the situation in a way that makes you feel differently. So giving the example that I've had earlier with the boss, this would be you thinking, well, you know, usually my boss is not generally sort of an aggressive or unpleasant person. Maybe there's something going on in their personal life that makes them be especially sort of aggressive today, for example. Now, this seems very simple, but there's a lot of complexity here, because there's all sorts of ways to do reappraisal, and you could test people's ability to do reappraisal on a variety of levels. So, for example, we know that people who frequently use reappraisal in their daily life are tend to feel better, tend to form better social interactions, tend to be healthier. So this sort of seemingly simple strategy may have a huge effect on how people carry themselves in their lives. And so we wanted to test whether this is true for things related to the pandemic, and we conducted a global study with 24,000 people across 87 countries and regions around the world, and we trained them to do reappraisal, and we taught them how to do it, and compared them to some other strategies that we thought would do better, would do less good than reappraisal. And indeed, we found that it had a tremendous effect on people's, in reducing people's negative emotions and specifically loneliness in the context of the pandemic.
We're talking to Amit Goldenberg with Harvard Business School, psychologist there, part of a global study, as he was just mentioning, on how we deal with our negative emotions and finding surprising results in helping relieve, helping cure, maybe, loneliness. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you had a lonely stretch in your life? Have you had to deal with problems of loneliness during the pandemic that you didn't have to before? Or, as some people, as we heard, vice versa. Did you feel less lonely during the pandemic? Do you have a question about how this sort of reappraisal technique of our negative emotions can work? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Amit, we'll get into maybe some more practical strategies of how we can do this kind of reappraisal, but I think this might surprise a lot of people. I think we might think of being lonely, of loneliness, as a state of being rather than a consequence of our emotions, right? It's the cause of the problems, not something that we could solve getting into our emotions. Can you connect the dots for us a little more?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Loneliness, the way I think about loneliness is this sort of vicious cycle that could start in various locations. But one idea is that let's start with actually the experience of loneliness. One feels that their social needs are unmet because they see other people on social media that seem to have a better or more rich social life than they do, or because they truly are alone and have no one to sort of talk to sort of on an intimate level. This contributes to sort of all sorts of maladaptive social cognitions of other people. And generally speaking, sort of negative perceptions of other people, being more suspicious towards other people, which leads to difficulty to form connections, which leads to social isolation. And you can already see how this vicious cycle can sort of unfold over time and lead to more and more loneliness.
So how would we start to use this reappraisal then? One negative technique is that you also write about in the study is blame of myself or others. I'm lonely because there's something wrong with me, or I'm lonely because there's something wrong with everybody else. Those are two systems, I think, if I understand your research, that don't help. How would I approach loneliness via reappraisal?
Yeah, that's a really good point. So I should say the reappraisal cannot always be helpful. I mean, you can reappraise situations in a way that will make you feel even worse, right? If you're lonely and you say, wait, everyone around me seems to be having a rich life and happy, and I'm sitting here at home and no one to interact with, that's a form of reappraisal that is likely to lead to sort of more negative outcomes. But generally speaking, positive forms or helpful ways to reappraise, that you could think about them in two ways. One is trying to sort of think about positive aspects of the situation in a way that would make you feel better. So it's almost like making lemonade from lemons. So, you know, this is a pandemic. I'm sitting at home and I'm completely isolated because I can't forum. But actually, I have some family members who are with me. And that's a really interesting opportunity and good opportunity to strengthen my connections with the people that are close to me or in my household. That's one example of reappraisal. Another one is to sort of to take a step back from the situation and try to look at things in a broader level. Yes, you know, I may be lonely right now, but you know, there's all sorts of ways that I can do to help me. And maybe this is a temporal situation. Maybe this is sort of a circumstantial situation that I'm at, but there's all sorts of ways that I can change that. And there's ways who people have shown to be useful. So you see how these sort of thought processes that are sort of helping us to reduce our negative emotion and help us in some ways to sort of get up and change our lives in ways that will make us feel better eventually.
Talking to Amit Goldenberg, he studies emotions and emotion regulation at the Harvard Business School. He's with us today to talk about his recent research into loneliness and strategies for coping with loneliness. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you had a lonely stretch in your life, maybe during the pandemic or before? Are there strategies? Are there things that help you feel better when you're feeling lonely? Can you find the silver lining in hard situations? Have you done, maybe even without knowing what it was, the kind of reappraisal techniques our guest is talking about? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. Right now, we're picking up our conversation about research on how to combat loneliness. Amit Goldenberg with the Harvard Business School stays with us, a psychologist who's participated in a global study on negative emotions, how to deal with them, including loneliness. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your questions, maybe your own experiences with loneliness at some point in your life. Call 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Tom is with us in Green Bay. Tom, hello.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. I have a question for you. I'm an alcoholic, and at the end of my drinking, I could be in a crowded room and feel very, very lonely. Now I can be out on a trout stream all by myself, and I don't get those feelings of loneliness. What changed?
Well, let me ask you before I throw that to our guest, Tom. I mean, what changed in your mind? What kind of thoughts were in your head when you were feeling lonely and drinking in that bar versus what's in your mind when you're out fishing?
Oh my God! When I was drinking, I'd be sitting there and there'd be all these people around, and I'd just feel like they don't care about me. I don't care about them. I just want that next drink, you know. And I could sit here in a social atmosphere, and hopefully it'll be socially acceptable. Now I go out into a trout stream and or out in the woods, and it's just not there. I don't feel that uselessness. I feel like things count. The world counts.
Tom, I'm really happy to hear that. Congratulations. Keep it up, man. That is great. Amit, what kind of things do you hear there?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing, Tom. I have two thoughts that come to mind. One is we want to differentiate between loneliness and solitude. Solitude is the positive side of social isolation. Sometimes when we're socially isolated, especially when we're outdoors, we actually feel better. And there should be a very good distinction between the two. The second thing is we're talking about emotion regulation, right? What do people do to help them change their emotions? And drinking is definitely a form of emotion regulation. And, you know, for sometimes, and in some cases, it's actually a helpful, you know, but in many cases and in other cases, drinking is actually can be a form of emotion regulation that maybe achieves sort of the opposite effect. And so when I'm thinking about, when I'm hearing you describing your experiences, I say maybe in that situation, drinking may be sort of a less helpful sort of form of emotion regulation. So, and you seem to have the good answer, right? Just go out, fish, and have a good time.
Thanks again for sharing that story, Tom. I appreciate it. At 800-642-1234. Let's go next to another Tom, this Tom in Middleton. Hi, Tom.
Hi there.
What did you want to bring up, Tom?
Well, I wanted to bring up the blues. The blues it's a way of feeling better. It's a strategy for feeling better. Intuitively, you would think the blues, which are, if you look at the lyrics, they're sad. A lot of them are about loneliness. But it's the communitas. It's the community of imagined others having the same lonely experience that makes you feel better. Because you know so many other people are experiencing the exact same thing you are, or even worse. And so it's communal.
Tom, I love that. Can you, before we let you go, can you share a favorite go-to blues musician for you?
Etta James.
Excellent. Tom, thanks a lot for the recommendation and the idea. I mean, I love that he had this, you know, we're communing with others. We're realizing it's not just us in this situation.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful idea, and there's a lot of work that suggests that sometimes, and many times we don't want to be sad, but sometimes being sad or angry with other people makes us feel much better. And we have a lot of examples from our culture of situations in which we basically get together and feel sadness or sometimes anger, and these sort of communal experiences are actually contributing to our well-being. So not all negative experiences are bad, and definitely sometimes feeling bad with other people makes us feel good. It's kind of an irony, but it's true.
Tom, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking about the ways we deal with our negative emotions, specifically loneliness. And there are techniques. Our guest has shared some of them to help us change the way we think about a situation and hopefully maybe break out of that loneliness. Amit Goldenberg stays with us, psychologist at the Harvard Business School. Amit, it seems like one challenge here is, even if we recognize the techniques of reappraisal and how they can work, when we are in that negative spiral, sometimes it's hard to have that self-awareness to see that we're in it in the first place and know that we need a new technique. How do we get there?
Yeah, absolutely. And one interesting finding in the emotion and emotion regulation literature is that people who are older are happier. That's also kind of counterintuitive. Usually younger people, usually we think of older people as sort of grumpy and unhappy, but that's actually not true. They're in fact also less lonely on average than younger people. And one of the questions is why? And one of the answers, and this is an answer by Laura Carstensen at Stanford, is that older people do a better job at choosing the situations that will make them feel happy. And so that's my advice in response to your question, which is one strategy that comes before reappraisal is trying to choose as much as possible or think about carefully as much as possible about the situations that you're choosing in your life and how these situations can make you feel. So seeing people that will make you feel better, going to places that will make you feel better, and that will make it easier for you to reappraise for sure.
Now, we've been in a pandemic for a long time. A lot of negative emotions, loneliness, just one of them. Is reappraisal just a short-term solution for negative problems, or is it something that in a sustained period like this of a lot of bummer news that can continue to help us?
Yeah, we have some evidence that teaching people or making or having people think consciously about reappraisal and understand its importance may have a long-term effect on people's well-being. It's sort of like it's teaching people sort of a very simple method that once become part of a habit can help people have sort of long-term benefits. And we have a lot of evidence from study that show that these sort of small changes can make big differences if they're practiced enough.
Time for one more caller. Jill is with us in Bruce. Jill, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about, Jill? Yep, loud and clear.
I am in a situation where I live out in a rural area. I'm sorry, I'm in my car and I was listening.
Oop, are you still there, Jill?
I don't have any family. I don't have any children. I don't have any family left. They've died. I have a little service dog, and I have a wildlife sanctuary, and it's very, a lot of times I just get, the area doesn't like that, but there's room for both hunting and wildlife. But I don't even have anybody like to bury me. So I would have to have somebody from long distance come. And so I do help other people. I don't want to say what I do for work, but what do you do on that one?
It's hard, Jill. Thank you for calling in. We just have a few moments left. Amit, sometimes, loneliness is imposed on us by our circumstance in life. Amit, how can we start to tackle that just in our last minute?
Yeah, Jill, thank you for sharing your feelings. Sometimes in life, sort of things are harder sort of to reappraise than in other cases. What I would suggest is to start from, finding one person that you can feel close to, and hopefully that would make some changes in the way that you feel.
Jill, thanks for calling. Good luck to you. We're here with you. And Amit, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for sharing this research with us today.
Thank you.
That's Amit Goldenberg, assistant professor of business administration at the Harvard Business School, psychologist by training. He was with us today to share strategies for combating loneliness and how they can be used, especially during the pandemic.